Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time visiting this website, welcome. I'm so happy you're here. If you're here, if this is your first time, there's a few sermons on here, and I got some more in the archives, so you can, all these sermons, they are free to listen to. The heartbeat of this ministry is for you to learn and to grow in Christ. And of course, those that may not know who Jesus Christ is, that they come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And of course, if you have any questions, you can send me an email through this website. Just when you do, just make sure you put within that website or that email there, Crucify for Christ Ministry, the subject heading there. So if it does go, it goes to my spam. And I only check my spam maybe once a month. I can see that headline there, and I'll immediately know that you send me an email. Probably the best way for now is through Facebook. PM me, private message me through Facebook. You don't have to be part of my Facebook group or friend list to send me a message. And you can send me any questions that you may have. I encourage you to, any questions that you may have on the material that you're listening to through these sermons. I have a few Bible studies on here and some devotionals that I post on here. So any questions, please just PM me on Facebook. As long as I'm on Facebook and I don't get kicked off or banned, that's probably the fastest way to reach out to me. The other way is through email. But once again, you email me, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries, and you'll see how to spell that out, and I would get that hopefully through my main box, or I may get it through spam. It's just me, small ministry, just me, and so if it does go to spam and I check it once a month and I find yours that you post, you might have sent a month ago, I apologize. I don't really check spam often, once a month. And that's going through just emails, and there's a lot of junk on there. If you're familiar with spam, you know that. And all you guys have been listening for a while, thank you for your sharing these messages. Thank you for your prayers. It's greatly appreciated. Always could use prayers. So keep praying for this ministry. Keep praying for me and my wife. Keep praying for us pressing on and doing what God has placed for us. And of course, those that I know personally, that you text me or you email me, you know who you are, and you guys are definitely in my prayers. So, and we lift you guys up, and of course we pray for you. Now, I'm starting this series, and last week we looked at part one. And part one was dealing with not really defining, but getting a grip on that word God. When you look in God's word, you will see God, capital G, and lowercase God, lowercase g. And you will see that plural form, gods. We kind of went through that, and we're going in our key passage is John 3:16-21. That's John 3:16-21. And this is a salvation message. This is getting our minds around salvation. Now, if you're not a stranger to this ministry, you know, I preach a lot of messages on salvation throughout the year. Salvation is very important to me. It's one of those, it's the key there. If you don't know that you're saved, then you got problems. If I ask you, how can you be saved, or do you know you're saved, and you get that deer in the eye, you know, that deer look, and I'm out here in the country, right? So, and you guys may be familiar with that phrase, but I've hit a deer before in a car. But when you're driving And the lights, what they do, they blind the deer and they don't know what to do. They don't move and they're stunned. They're like, what's going on? And next thing you know, you hit them, and which is, it could damage a vehicle and cost a lot of money to fix. I think 1 year I hit almost 2 deers. And then my wife and I, we started getting, on my other car, I need to get the deer whistles. And I believe they help because I haven't hit a deer. And of course, thank God. I'm not boasting or bragging. I haven't hit a deer in a few years, maybe a little longer, and I don't want to. It costs a lot of money to fix a vehicle when your animal hits you, depending on your deductible. But they get that blind look. They don't like, they're confused. And I don't want you to, when somebody asks you, you know, how do you define salvation? How do you know that you're saved? I don't want you to have that look like, I don't know what to say. I'm confused. And the other part of this is for you to know, and maybe you never heard a message like this, I'm a child of God. This is how I become a child of God. This is how, so this is the whole drive of these sermons. Of course, listen to part one. This is part two. It's very important. On a series sermon, they kind of build up, like that you got part one, part two. So if you're listening to part two and you don't want to listen to part one, there may be areas where you're like, hey, that guy's not correct. Well, that's the point of a series sermon, is to cover a lot of topics. Because if not, I would sit here for about 6 to 8 hours talking about salvation, and most people's attention span isn't going to last that long. It's just a scientific fact. I remember I was reading something. It was saying that in a sermon, if you're giving a sermon, and it's just amazing because people can have a high attention rate when they're watching a violent, sexual, nasty movie. Their attention span is longer. They can actually sit in a two-hour movie and retain it. But a sermon, 30 minutes to an hour, I was reading, most people don't even retain even 2 to 3% of it. And that's just, it really just grips me when I think of it, because it's just how the devil operates. We can have our attention span to a violent movie, or I don't encourage that, in a violent movie, a sexual movie. But then when a man is up there preaching God's word and teaching, there's a less retention rate. So what I'm getting at is, if I did an 8-hour sermon, sit here for 8 hours, which I could, and talk about salvation, you probably will, most people will only retain about 2 to 3% of it. So that's why most preachers, Bible teachers, we try to keep it down to at least an hour. And even the hours pushing it, sometimes the sermon, and once again, the Holy Spirit moves as he sees fits, and I don't keep it just 2 hours. Sometimes it goes over. And these are recorded, so you can listen to them over and over. Saying all that, this is part two. Listen to part one if you haven't already. This is part two. The title of part two is, what manner does God love the world? What manner does God love the world? And our scripture here is going to be in John 3, 16 through 21. And this is the foundation passage that we are going to look at, and we're going to break down, of course. When you're doing that, I'm bringing in other scriptures to support that. Because why? Scripture is our ultimate authority, right? We're losing that, and especially in American churches. God's word is the ultimate authority. Not a man's way he can speak. Not the elegant in his language. I am not the most elegant speaker, I promise you. I probably will never pack out crowds. Stadium. I'm not a Steve Furtick, and I wouldn't want to be him because I don't believe he is a agent of God. He's an agent of Satan, or Joel Osteen. He's an agent of Satan other than an agent of God, because they don't preach the truth. List goes on and on. Steve Furtay, he's doing a tour right now, is selling out left and right. It just blows my mind. The man is not biblically sound in God's word, but what he's selling and packing out crowds. Why? I've listened to him preach. He's a motivated speaker, and he can get you pumped, and he is very elegant. But he doesn't preach the truth. My heart is torn, right? Because if he doesn't repent, he doesn't turn from his wicked ways, his destination will be hell. And those that follow him, that support him, and that praise him, they will incur the same reward. I say that with sadness in my heart, because I don't want to see nobody go to hell. But we speak out against these agents of Satan, and people just keep praising these guys. Just keep giving them money left and right. We are living in a time close to the coming of Jesus Christ. I always say we're closer than we were yesterday, where people will seek these men that will tickle and massage their ears instead of men that will fill them with the truth of the gospel. Let's read John 3:16-21, and then we'll pray. And we'll go into this preaching and this teaching. John 3:16-21 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that do true comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest they are wrought in God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just get to your word. Guide and direct as you see fit. Holy Spirit, pour through me and have me speak the words that you need me to speak to those that are that will be listening in the future. God, I pray over their life that this message just resonate with them. It rattles them. It shakes them. To look more into your word, and to dive deeper into scripture, and to pray for that discernment, to guard our ears from the false teaching and preaching that's all around us, that will grow and grow before you come back. God, we pray over this world. We pray over our government. We pray over these men out there in the pulpit calling themselves pastors, Bible teachers. God, my heart cries out. Rattle them, shake them, shake them. If one would truly come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and their life is rattled and they start preaching the truth. Oh, what amazing. Their platform won't be as big as it is now, because why? These people will go to somebody else. Because they're not, now that man is not preaching what they want to hear. He is not tickling their ears, and they will seek somebody else that will do that. Yes, they will lose their money, and they will lose quite a bit of their platform. You tell us through your scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. It can wrap around our hearts and create a gap from the truth. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the beautiful sacrifice that you gave to this world. His grace and mercy poured from that cross. The blood was spilled for a sinner like me. Oh, how can we repay that? Truly, we can't. All we can do is give our life fully and utterly and say, Jesus, here I am. Use me for your glory, not mine. You get the praise. You get the honor. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for that bridge that you created, showing me that in the end, this life is so temporary, and that there is life after death, and we will have everlasting life that truly believe, and we have truly abiding in Christ. We will have this everlasting life, and not only that, we will be filled with so much joy and peace that beyond what we could ever imagine in this world. Oh, we only get a small glimpse of this peace and joy briefly in this world, for this world can be filled with sorrow and pain, but we know you can give us comfort, and that comfort don't even compare to what's waiting for those that truly love you, that truly have dedicated their life, truly pursue you with everything we got. Oh, how you want followers that will give everything they got, oh, not just part-time, but full-time, dedicating our life fully to you, God. Oh, you seek that. But oh, we pray for those that truly don't know you. There's a different path. There's a different way that leads to everlasting destruction, to hell. We pray over their lives, those that don't want to abide in you, that don't want to keep pursuing you, that are half-heartedly walking in this life. God, we pray over their lives. Rattle them, shake them. Bring them to the cross. Bring them to the tomb. Bring them to the truth. Light their fire. Light their life with fire, and their life with something that they can't contain. To reach out to those all around us that need this message of the cross, a message of salvation. Equip us, guide us, direct us, ignite this fire in our hearts to reach those with the gospel. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at John 3, and we're still in verse 16, and last week we went over for God. But we're going to look at for God so. We didn't get very far here, but I want to tell you this word is so easily missed. This word so. As in the Greek, and if you're new and those been listening to these sermons throughout the years, I do not profess to be a Greek scholar. I love to learn, so I do study. So I can mispronounce Greek words right. I am not a Greek scholar, but when we look at Greek words, here's the thought that we need to have. There are several meanings of a single English word. A single English word, there can be several Greek meanings of that. The example is love. It renders four Greek meanings. Agape, which is represented in this scripture. Eros, which is a passionate love. Stoic, which is like a family love. Or phileo, that is a brotherly love. And you'll hear my dog in the background. She just heard a door. Let me pause this real quick. I just let my dog out. She heard a car slam outside, so that's the thing of doing these at home. Maybe one day I'll have a, you know, studio or something I can do this in. But for now, it's at home, and that's what God wants. That's I'll do these to the very end at home. But that just shows you the four meanings just of the word love. So I encourage anybody that's doing Bible study, you look at. You see a word, you break it down. And today you can, there's many books that you can buy, and there's some free resources on the internet that you can look at. Now I can, if you're curious about that, just send me a message on the free resources. I can direct you to those that are pretty good, and you can, it gives you a pretty breakdown. They're free. Now, I encourage you to have books around to be able to break down words, especially if the internet ever went down, which I believe probably will one day. Give or take how long, I don't know, but it's good to have books around, hard copies, so if that happens, you have a hard copy you can look at. But the word here, so, one render of this word, so, is hazitas, or I won't spell this out. I don't think I pronounced that right. It's H-O-S-T-U-S. Hostas or hositas. This can mean in this manner. Now, when we take that word so in the Greek, the hazitas or hosis, in this manner, and we take that and we put that in the rendering of John 3:16, that first passage, it reads like this: for God in this manner loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed him should not perish, but what have everlasting life. I want to tell you, my friend, today's society, the new Christianity, there's this appeal to make the gospel all about us. Yes, God loved us, and he loves this world, but there is a danger and a practice that is dangerous when we make the gospel all about us. The gospel is about God and what he has done for you and me and us. The gospel is not self-centered, but the gospel is Christ-centered, right? That is one of those, if you're taking notes, write that down. The gospel is not self-centered, but the gospel is Christ-centered, right? Now, I'm not saying we can't use our testimonies, and I'm not saying we can't use our witnesses, but in the end, we need to make it crystal clear that Jesus Christ gets the credit, and we take none of it. When you hear a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, evangelist, or whatever, say, I brought these many people to the Lord. Beware of this person. They didn't do anything. They were just a vessel by the Holy Spirit to lead that person or people to the Lord. Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ gets all the credit. So when you hear a pastor, preacher, teacher talking like this, evangelist, oh, look how many people. You didn't bring nobody to the Lord. You were a vessel that that God used through the Holy Spirit. He gets the credit. I want to tell you, if one person is saved through this website, I do not want the credit. Jesus Christ gets all the credit because it wasn't for him, I would be 6 feet under and burning in hell. Thank God he saved me. Now he is guiding me in these last days. Reach those he has placed in my path. And man, I don't care if I'm at Walmart, if I'm going and the Holy Spirit is moving and there's somebody that crossed my path and the Holy Spirit says, speak to that person, I will speak to that person. I will reach into their life because the Holy Spirit, knighted in me, will not let me let that person leave, because why? That is somebody God has placed in my path. I am privileged and honored for the Holy Spirit to give me that person. But I will tell you, in the end, it all said, it's not Jonathan Ritter. It's God in me, right? The Holy Spirit that pushes me to do that. He gets the credit. He gets the honor. The gospel is not self-centered. The gospel is Christ-centered. I was listening to a podcast from Living Waters by Ray Comfort, and I love their ministry. I don't agree with like all the stuff they say, but you know, we can agree and disagree on certain things. But they were speaking on John 3:16 and how this is misused, right? And they were quoting this guy. I don't really know this guy too much, but I like this quote. It says here, and the guy was Scott Stein. But they were using this quote and actually a passage I'm going to read on this misusing of this John 3:16, which I believe is misused. It says, when we read God loved the world so much, our focus is immediately put on us. It makes the Father's motivation for sacrificing His Son the amount of His love for humanity, as if He simply could not do without us. And would do anything to get us back. The ideal has even creeped into our music, and I don't suggest listening to Hillsong. They have problems, but he's like Hillsong. What a beautiful name. Otherwise, he says, a beautiful chorus. The one line that I can never bring to sing is this: you didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus brought heaven down. The biggest problem with this ideal is that it's not in the Bible. What more is completely reversed the truth of the gospel. The difference is no small thing, especially in our idolatry culture of self-love. One of the greatest lies is that God needs us. He doesn't. The ideal is the heart of all false religions. God does not depend on us and needs nothing from His creation. He gives us scripture, Acts 17:24-25. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwell not in the temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though He needs anything, seeing He give to all life, breath, and all things. When we read, this is how God loves the world, how our attention rightly focuses on God. It reveals to us something about God and the nature of His love, namely, that is entirely boundless, selfless, and gracious. That's selfless. That's, make sure I say that right. Unselfish love, right? It's not because He needed us that God loved us this way. Quite the reverse. Is because we need Him. Because we need Him. I know I need Him. Every day. The Father's motivation for sending Jesus, actually His love for the Son. And His desire to glorify the Son. John 17:24 says, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me, because with Me where I am, that they may behold the glory which Thou hast given Me. For Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Salvation through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the dead is all about the Father glorifying the Son whom He loves. And listen, my friend, Christians are the Father's gift to Jesus. We are His inheritance. And Jesus is glorified because through our union with Him, by faith, He has drawn us into eternal love relationship with Father. And He gives us scripture, John 17:26. And I have declared unto them by name, I will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Oh, that's so beautiful. From this long quote, we need to understand, and what this is pointing to is the gospel is Christ-centered. He don't need you and me. Oh, how we think the world just can't spin unless we're involved. No. God is almighty. He told Him I could make, Jesus was saying that He could make the rocks cry out. He don't need you and me. But He chooses to use us, and that is a privilege and that is an honor. Use us, God, right? Anytime I'm witnessing somebody and reaching out to somebody, I'm not boasting about it. I'm not puffing my chest. Thank you, God, for using me, because I know that's a gift from God that He has given me. And He gets the glory. It's not about me. It's about how God can use us in this ministry. For For God in this manner, right, that so, in this manner, loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. I always want to say shall there. And I think I mixed it, because I read different translations, the KJV, the NIV, and I think the NIV uses shall there, the NKJV, so sometimes I'm reading in my mind, it's just because I'm reading different translations, and I think my mind just subs words there, but the heartbeat is right. Even you say in him shall not perish, that still should not perish. They both mean the same thing. You will not perish, right, but have everlasting life. That's a guarantee, that's a promise. But in this manner, he loved the world. Now, understand this. There is a worldly love, and there is a godly love. Understand, there is a difference between these two loves. You may say, yes, of course there is. I want to tell you, today's, especially here in America, most can't even tell you the difference. It's amazing how far we have strayed the past 100, and I've done research and I looked over the past 100 years, and maybe before that, there was you could see the devil's hand in chipping away at the foundation of the true gospel. And we are here because that's how the devil operates. He's subtle. He operates in subtle steps. I've seen his hand in motions and families. I've seen families fall apart because we're not studying God's word, right? We're not seeking his direction. We're not praying. And that's the heart that breaks my heart when I see that. And I cry. Because if we were truly reading God's word and meditating it day and night, as the psalmist says, we plant in Psalm 1, right? And I love the Psalms, and you guys know that. And then one day I want to preach through all the Psalms. But that's a task. He'd be like a tree planted by the waters. Strong root systems, right? And when the storms in life come and they swing, they blow at that tree. Don't move. Why? Because the roots are solid. And our roots here in America are not solid. When we can't distinguish from a worldly love and a godly love, there is problems. When we look at a worldly love, what did we see? We see a selfish love. Now, if you watch a good and hopefully clean rom-com, and that's a romantic comedy, well, you find there is a couple who's trying to get together. And when they're trying to get together, what is going on? Now, if all my ladies out there, you're probably very familiar and you know what's going on. What's happening? They're appealing to one another, right? In a sense, each one is wanting the other one to acknowledge him as the center of his or her life, her world, right? This is typical format of a romantic comedy. It sells. It's self-love. The girl wants the boy to make her the object of his love, or the boy wants the girl to make him the object of her love. This is how the world views love, right? This is how they view it. Now, I want to encourage you to think about this, even write it down. A worldly love can center on what we can get. A worldly love is who can we use? Who can we control? Who can we manipulate? This love wants the easy way out. This love divides. This love separates. This love is unforgiving and resentful. Does this sound like a healthy love? This love is driven and controlled by Satan and his demons. This is why this love is popular. And this is what we witness. When we're witnessing to someone, we have to be able to bring this into view. We need to understand, and maybe you have never thought about this. And I encourage you to go back and to really get your mind around this. Maybe this right here is like, wow, I never thought of that it that way. I won't praise God. Because that's the point. We ensure that we understand this so we can witness to others to shed a light that the work God's love is different than this world's love. Because the love that God is speaking in John 3:16-21. This is agape love, right? That Greek rendering is agape. This is love that is hard for us to define in our own English language. But this love is an unconditional love. This love is unselfish love. Not expecting nothing back. Not manipulating. Not dividing. Not unforgiving. Not resentful. And of course, when I say undividing, I mean it is still a sword, right? God's word is still a sword. It cuts and it divides. But what I'm contrasting here is a love of the world that is filled with hate of God. See, when we truly have this love of God, and others do have the same love as we have, that it's in Scripture, there is unity, not division. And the best demonstration of this kind of love is seen at the cross, my friend. You see, the cross, back in the Romans' time, was the most hideous way and horrifying way a criminal could die. They view that criminal as not to have no mercy or grace on that criminal. It was humiliating for that criminal. Looking historically, we can see that the criminals where they were crucified, they were stripped naked. Now, some cases was a small wrap to cover the private parts, which we see in a lot of movies like The Passion of the Christ. But we don't know for sure. Personally, I believe Satan wanted to humidify our humidify. That's not humidify, but basically show as much shame on Lord Jesus Christ as he possibly could. He wanted to implement as much pain to Jesus Christ as he could. Now, we know that he don't have no power, only with the power that Jesus Christ gave him. Even though he thought he was winning, we know he lost. And even today, he knows to a degree that his time is limited, because it speaks in the Bible, and he's like that hamster on the wheel. He's going to keep running and running until the very end, until Jesus comes back and he stops it. Right? Second death, right? Throws Satan, the Antichrist, and all that follow him, the demons and all the people that reject Christ, into the lake of fire. That burns. That's the second death, which is horrible. Just think about the second death. The second death is when we look at hell, right? Those that are in torment right now is not their final destination. They're in pain and they are miserable and they think this is about to be as worse as it's going to get, but there's still a deeper and worse torment coming, the lake of fire. That right there should rattle you. I don't want to see nobody go to this lake of fire that's breathing, that got breath in their lungs. The power of the Holy Spirit in me grieves over those that may be going to this place of everlasting torment in the final destination of the lake that burned with fire forever and ever. Understand, our enemy Satan, he's evil. Chaos is his method of destruction. But our Lord Jesus Christ, being scourged to almost death, and the nails as driven in his hands and feet, lifted up on a cross for all to see. Why, asshole, why I cry? Why will you do this for this world? A world that would spit on you and speak for slander and vulgarness to you. Yes, his love, agape love. This love created this bridge, right? John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. See, the cross here creates this bridge. It shows us the unselfish love that Jesus has for this world. We see his grace. We see his mercy. And God loved us in this manner, right? When we come to the cross, we see what we have done. We are guilty. Our hands are stained with blood. But there is forgiveness. And when we come to the cross, we recognize what we have done. We stand guilty. We deserve God's wrath to be poured down on our heads. We have violated the law and we deserve punishment, penalty of death by the cross itself and by hell. Oh, I should be burning in hell, but oh, thank God for the cross. Thank God for the sacrifice. Thank God for the resurrection. Oh, the cross and the resurrection. It brings this new life, right? Death to our old self when it comes to the cross. Surrender our life to God and say, here I am. Use me. This life is not about me, God. It's all about you. The gospel is all about Christ and pointing others to him. Oh, my name, I do not care if you remember it, but remember the name of Jesus Christ. For when I go home, I will be welcomed home by my Father, and my days on this earth is over, and my true joy and peace will begin forever. And all that I can bring is who I am to him and what he done for me. I don't bring nothing else. Oh, how beautiful is the cross. Oh, how beautiful was the sacrifice that he did for this world. And because of that, in that manner of love that pours down on me and on those that believe, we pour out to others because we want to center our life on him. We want to say, thank you, God. I want to spread this message to others. But we have to understand, we have to point them to the cross. We have to point them to what true love is. We got to point that this life is not about them. Oh, how these messages they do sell. A message about me, me, I. Oh Lord, what can you do for me? Oh Lord, look how special I am. Our righteousness is just filthy rags to a holy God. If you look at that in, I believe in Isaiah, filthy rags is bloody tampons. That's our righteous to a holy God. Filthy. He takes his righteousness, his robe of righteousness, he wraps it around us. It is all Jesus Christ. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. And when we truly come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the cross and the resurrection, and we really get that and we grab onto that, there is a changing of our life, right? We will have lows and highs in this life, and God is shaping and molding us. And I promise you, we will have pain and uncomfortabilities in this life. There's no doubt about that. Being a disciple for Jesus Christ It's going to be uncomfortable. Most of your evangelists, they won't tell you that. It will be painful. Because why? You're going against this world. You're going against the God, lowercase g, God of this world. You're saying, hey, this life is not about you. Why you got those people like Annalise Stanley and Steve Furtick and Joel Osteen that preach this perversion of the gospel to make people feel good and that it's all about them. It's sad. It sells and they're huge and people just keep rolling money their way. But we will be uncomfortable. We will experience pain in this life. John 15:18. Let's point to Scripture. You see a lot of these guys, they don't point to Scripture. Let me tell you an indication. When you're listening to them and they're one verse. Annalise Stanley's really good at the one verse thing. He said he don't want to hit with many verses. Why don't he want to hit with many verses? Because he don't want you to center in God's Word. He wants you to center in His Word. His father, Satan. Oh, you went too far, Jonathan. We need to call these people out. And we need to call those that praise these guys out. Well, that's not love. God's Word tells us that is love. You love them with the truth. Am I their enemy because I tell them the truth? Men like me? Women like me? Yes, we will be their enemy. Because we hit them with the truth. Make sure I said that right. Men like me, but I'm not a woman. I don't know if I said that right. I'm talking about those that are witnessing to Jesus, witnessing the truth, right? Because God made two sexes, male and female. You can't, if you're a man, you can't change your sex. I don't care how much surgery you go into. And most of you guys know that I'm solid on that. Annalise Stanley isn't. Steve Furtick removed a lot of his language on that. We know Joel Osteen don't stand on that. When they get these questions, they try to avert. It's simple. When you start seeing them trying to deviate from that question, you know. They know the truth, but they deny it. They deny the power of. And I won't tell you, I don't see how they sleep at night. Well, I can tell you how they sleep. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not saved by Jesus Christ. And if they die tonight without repentance and confession in their heart, they will burn in hell. That's intense. But we will be uncomfortable. Listen to John 15:18-20. I don't know why I went that way, but hey, it's all good. Guys got this. Like I said, I'm not the most eloquent speaker, but man, I love God's Word, and I encourage you to write these scriptures down and go back at them. John 15:18-20 says, If the world hate you, you know that it hated me because it hated you. This is Jesus speaking, right? Or what was recorded, but it's still His Word. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will what? Love you? No. The world will hate you. Verse 20 says, Remember the word that I say unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, Jesus saying, they persecuted me, they will. He didn't say they won't. He said, they will also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If they keep my saying, they will also keep yours also. Me being the example. God's word is true, right? Every word God breathed. Some people say, this don't apply to us today. Yes, it does apply to us. Oh, it's talking about the apostles and disciples. Yes, he was including those. But he was including all those that were listening. Then and now. We will have persecution one way or the other. Just think, if you could speak to Peter, guess what? He would tell you, in this life, you will have pain. In this life, you will be uncomfortable. Because you can trace Peter's journey right in the Gospels all the way up to Acts. And you can read 1 and 2 Peter, and you will get this among many other messages. As a child of God, which is a disciple of Jesus Christ, prepare yourself for persecution. I know, especially in America, that is not a comfortable word. But I want to tell you, many pastors, teachers, evangelists, words, many are not preaching the truth. They don't belong in the pulpit because why? They do not meet the qualifications that is lined with scriptures. And what is the love for truth? Regardless how popular it will become, we still speak truth. We preach, prepare for persecution. Oh, this is not a popular message, especially here in America, because why? We are spoiled. We look across the countries, right? What's happening to our brothers and sisters in China, North Korea, Russia, Japan, list goes on and on. We're like, that can't happen to us. Let me rain on your parade, cupcake. If I haven't already. And some of you guys have been listening, well, I ain't raining on your parade. You know. I know a lot of you by name, and you agree with this. I'm speaking to those that may come across this at this time. They may tune me out, turn the channel, and go off, whatever. You've been warned. Tense persecution is coming to America one way or the other. Those professing to know Jesus Christ will be called out. I don't know how. I don't know how that's going to turn out. Could be jail time, could be fines, could be death, but it's coming. I cannot help but think of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. He was there listed among the 12 apostles. He was an apostle. He's seen with his own eyes the miracles Jesus Christ done. The healing of the blind, right? Eyes open. The healing of the sick. Like the leprosy healed. Lame walking. The feeding of the thousands. The walking on the water. He's seen these things. He heard the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons that we only have a little piece of. Preach. But when time got real, what happens? His heart wasn't in it. He wasn't truly sold out to Jesus Christ, right? He led the soldiers, right? And the religious, some of the religious leaders, right? Right to the Garden of Gethsemane. He gave them a kiss so they could identify who Jesus Christ was. And all chaos broke loose. The apostles were ready to fight. Peter grabs a sword. Chops one of the person's ears off. Right? These soldiers and religious leaders are raining on their parade. Right? What happened? Jesus Christ picks up the ear of that man and heals that man's ear right there. He rebukes this chaos because he knew his time has came. Jesus cared from all the grief. He took that money that he sold Jesus Christ out to. He goes to the religious leaders. He casts this blood money to their feet. And they say, we don't want this money, right? And he goes off. He commits suicide by hanging himself on a tree. His bowels, his intestines falls to the ground. Some will say Judas repented. Others say he did not. When we look at scripture, we can't really say. But you can contrast Peter, who denied Jesus Christ 3 times, right, and later repented. We see this in Scripture. On Scripture, we do not see Judas repenting. So for me, I lean on the side that he did not repent of the sin. And at that point, he was no longer a child of God, if he even was. And he is not inheriting the kingdom of God. And yes, this is a controversial point that I'm showing or talking about. But here's, regardless if Judas is in heaven or hell, whatever view you want to look at, his time's up. My concern is you. Yes, you listening, that you get to understand salvation, the good news. This is one thrust of this message, right? To understand how this world views love. And it's not the same love in the Bible. For God in this manner loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm going to go into part 3 on believing in this message. I'll start working on that as soon as possible and hopefully have that out for you guys by next week or the following week. But believe, that is faith, that is trust in him. We take Scripture as a way of life, not like a McDonald's menu. God calls us to walk a different way. Oh, a different path. Matthew 7:13 through 14. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Some people say Jesus Christ will be preaching this hard. Oh, he preaches hard, I promise you. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount, that just tells you he preached hard. And he did it in love. Agape love, unconditional. Not selfish. Because he don't want to see nobody perish and go to hell. But he says, Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be find it." Jesus Christ says through his word, "Enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction." This wide gate, it leads to destruction. This wide way leads to destruction. And Jesus, many there, many. If you want to look at the Greek many, that's a lot. And then this contrast, many and few, I encourage you to go through God's word and look at the Greek of many and few. You will find out. These words are heavy. Majority of people in this world will reject the truth. And their destination is destruction. That don't prevent us from reaching out and preaching the gospel. Why? Because it's not about my feelings. It's not about how many will speak evil of what God has placed in my heart to preach. He's too hard. I don't want to hear him. All he preaches doom and gloom. Oh, I like Joel Osteen. He makes me feel very happy inside. He tells me every day is a Friday. He tells me I can have my best life now. All the financing things in my life I can have. Oh, that car, that house, that woman that's married, I can have her too. That's where it leads to. Me, I. It's all about me. Matthew 7:14 said, "Because the straight is the gate, Narrow is the way. This is a narrow way which leads unto life, and few there be to find it. Only a few will find it. You go back to thinking of Peter and Judas, right? They were both given a choice. Controversial, I get that. But you start thinking, one, there's a wide way, right? I personally believe Judas took that way. I personally believe he's not in heaven, he's in hell. While Peter took the narrow way, and he did inherit the kingdom of God. And we see his repentance of his betrayal. We don't see that with Judas. What happens? He throws the money. He goes off and he hangs himself. No repentance. He wanted to die. No confession. Matthew 7:13 through 14, some sad scriptures to look at. Hell will be full. It will enlarge. Hell will have more people than heaven. That makes me happy. No, it don't. It makes me cry. It makes me weep. Because hell is not a fun place. So I heard people say, hey, hell is a place where I'm going to party all night and rock to AC/DC while I'm throwing back a six-pack of Bud Light. No, you will not. Can't help but think of Lazarus and the rich man, right? The rich man was just begging for a drop of water. And Jesus tells many will go this way. We will preach the truth. Many will reject it. That's why those preachers, they're not preaching this way. They're popular. Because many will reject messages like this. And they will heat these men or women tickling their ears. And this may make you feel very uncomfortable to hear this. And I promise you, it's not Jonathan Ritter. It's Jesus Christ trying to open your eyes and your heart to the truth of the gospel. Stop listening to all these agents of Satan in the modern day American pulpit. There are lies such as I've mentioned Steve Furtick, Joel Osteen, and the list goes on. Joseph Meyer, Kenny Copeland, T.D. Jakes, Clef Dollars, and the list goes on. Beth Moore. If these guys do not repent, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. When time gets worse, it will. Here in America, they will bow their heads to the Antichrist and his system. And many that have fallen them, they will fall them right off the cliff. They will have that spiritual hanging themselves from a tree with their bowels and intestines falling to the ground. When Jesus Christ comes back, they will see the wrath of God. The second death will be their reward. They will be in fire, a torment for the rest of their lives. But they don't have to. You don't have to. 2 Peter 3:9, and we're already over that hour mark, but 2 Peter 3:9, and I encourage you to write these scriptures down and go back. But 2 Peter 3:9. Flip to it. The Lord is not slack containing his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is that repentance word. And when we get in that third part, repentance is going to be part of that believing. You heard me talk about repentance of Judas and Peter. What does repentance mean? Turning away from our sins, right? But we'll get into that. Very important for the salvation message to understand what repentance, true repentance is. Jesus Christ does not want no one to perish. Why do you think he hasn't came back already? I'm talking about second coming, right? Because there's still souls that need to be saved. And thank God that he includes us in this ministry to do that. There are still men out there that are standing on God's word, and women. I like Joe Schimmel at Blessed Hope Chapel in California. They do a live stream, but you can and they also have a Good Fight Ministries. I love their ministry. You got Ray Comfort's ministry in Living Waters. They do podcasts on YouTube. Alicia Shivers, she has a podcast. These are men and women, or one, and there are several other women I could point you to. The listeners are solid. There are still some out there standing on truth, but I want to tell you, as time draws closer, there will not be as many. But there's still some. Because God does not want nobody to perish. His light will shine into that darkness. We have that choice, right? We need to stop playing patty cake with this world. That will not fly with God. If you're blending in this world, you're still watching stuff that you know you're not supposed to be watching. You're listening to stuff that you're not supposed to be listening. He's still having sex before marriage, spiritually, right? That's mentally, emotionally, and physically. God's not okay with that. He's still hanging in places that you know you're not supposed to be hanging. You're still going to doing bar hopping, going to strip clubs, hanging around friends that are just disgusting. Light and darkness. And I'll get in that. And if you read John 3:16-21, it speaks on light and darkness there. The gospel message is right there. And the point of this sermon series is to point you guys to this. And to maybe see the truth. And to see the distortion that's going on in this world today with the preaching of the gospel. But you're doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. The Holy Spirit, if He's truly in your life, He's going to grieve you. If you're doing these things, you're not grieved, you got problems, I would say that you're not walking with God, or you're no longer with God. If you were a child of God, you're no longer a child of God. Regardless of what take you want to take on that, you can lose your salvation, forfeit your salvation, or you were never a child of God from the get-go. It don't matter. In your current state that you're in, your outcome is not good. You're not walking the narrow, but the wide that leads to the wide, right? Leads to everlasting damnation, destruction, hell. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Turn. Jesus Christ, through His word, speaks on turning. This heaviness of the gospel and salvation, right? The good news. I'll tell you, if Jesus Christ would not be crucified, wouldn't got crucified if he was preaching what majority of the pulpits are preaching today. They wouldn't have crucified him. They would have praised him. All the apostles, the 12, minus Judas Iscariot, which I guess you could put it that way. He did die a miserable death. So these apostles suffered miserable deaths. John, although when you look at historically, looking at John, he went through some pain too. But in the end, they could look beyond their life, right? Minus Judas Iscariot. Because they counted the cost. They were all in because they didn't look at this life as this world looks at this life. They didn't love their life like this world loves their life. They didn't have this selfish love. They had an unselfish love. And when they realized this life is going to be temporary, right, and heaven is forever, they were a force to be reckoned with. Now they are in heaven with God, right? They're definitely having their best life now. And I can't wait to meet some of these guys. You ever really think about that? I know I do. And it brings a smile on my face. Just meeting our Father, that's going to be beautiful. But just think about all those that passed before us. Maybe loved ones that we know that were truly children of God, and we'll see them. But you think about the historical, biblical names that are now in heaven, like Noah, Moses, David, Esther, Israel, Isaiah, right? Jeremiah, Paul, Peter. Imagine seeing Noah face to face, right? Just a beautiful thing. In this life, we will have pain and suffering. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. He said, "Unto my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, meaning rejoicing, therefore I will rather glory in my infirmities." He said, I will take what I am going through and I will glory in those infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, Paul got it. "Therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." He realized it was not about him. And I want to tell you, the gospel is not about us. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ and how he can use us. Lord, mold us and sculpt us, right? This life is not about you and me, but God's will be done. His purpose, his direction. Lord, in this manner, guide me, direct me. Lord, take this selfishness of my heart and burn that selfish to the ground. Oh, from the ashes will rise up what is the Holy Spirit in me to proclaim the gospel regardless of what this world may put me through. We start getting this, our eyes start opening up right. We start recognizing His will, His purpose. Our life becomes about Him, our solid foundation. We become that tree, right? Planted our roots firmly in the ground by the living waters. Closing this out, I pray that you start getting to understand the importance of knowing salvation. Understanding that the gospel is not self-centered, but is Christ-centered. It's about how God can use us. For in this manner he died, right? It's not about how God can fit in our life. It's how we can fit in His. What you're seeing today, this world, this love, this God, lowercase g, they believe it's the capital G. And when you start proclaiming the gospel, you will ruffle some feathers. When you're talking about their selfishness, their worldly love, when you start talking about dying to yourself and reaching out to those that are in need, it's not about you and your will and your purpose in this life. It's about how God can use you. You will step on toes, because why? This world, the church, majority of the popular messages is about making a God in their own image. Keep living in their sin. It will be okay. But this is not the gospel, my friend. The gospel is Christ-centered. It's not centered on us. It's centered on Christ, our solid foundation. The gospel tells us it's not about us, but what God has done for us. It wasn't our worth that brought Jesus down. Rather, His coming down brought us our worth. Understand, we need Jesus, and He does not need us. Yeah, I know this will upset many, but it's what it needs to be preached today. We need to rattle and shake the churches. We need to call these guys out by name that are proclaiming a different gospel. Shed light on the evil of their words. Yes, you will get attacked. The cross is enough, right? The resurrection is enough. A lot of times we're centered on what God can do for us. No. It's what we can do for God. God, direct me as you see fit. God, purify my heart. God, help me carry the load that you've given me. Within my weakness, you are strong. Through the pain that I'm going through, the uncomfortableness of this world, to proclaim the gospel, give me strength to carry on. At the cross, the resurrection from the dead, it's all about the Father glorifying the Son who loves who He loves. We true Christians are the Father's gift to Jesus Christ. We are His inheritance. And Jesus is glorified because through our union with Him by faith, He has drawn us into eternal life, relationship with the Father. John 17, right, 26. I declare it unto thee in my name. I will declare it that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them. And I am them. The whole life. This life is short. It's all about the glory of God shining through us. And walking that narrow path. Right? Yes, it will be uncomfortable. It will be painful. But we stand firm when we proclaim. Few will stand and few will say this. Many will deny it and reject it. Lord, I pray for their souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, just get into your word. Guide and direct as you see fit this message. I know it will go to the ears that you have already know that will listen to this. You get the glory. You get the pleasure. You get the honor. You get the glory. All. God, if there's somebody here that made it through this whole sermon, and they're like, I've never heard this. God, we pray over their lives right now. We pray if that hopefully they go back and they listen, they write down the scripture. Because we know your scripture will not go void. Your word will not go void. And they get into your word. if they get into your word, you will guide them, you will direct them. They can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ right there, right where they're at, with their Bible. That's the beautifulness of this ministry is, I don't know the outcome. All I know is you place this on my heart to reach as a platform to reach as many that will listen and to point them to Scripture. Point them to truth. And if they truly come to you, you get the glory. They don't even have to know who I am. They just need to know who Jesus Christ is. My name means nothing if tonight was my last night on this earth. Those in 49 states, right? Joy, they won't even know I'm gone. Just be a remembrance of those around me that love me, like my wife, and those that I have reached into their life that God has given me to minister in their life. They will, and you get the glory for that. I know but the beautiful thing is you know who I am. My name is written, and that's all that matters. God, help me press on. And I pray those that are truly yours listening to this, give them the strength to press on in these times that are growing darker. Give us strength, be the light to this world, and realize that we will be hated. And realize that the way the world defines love is not the way you define love. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. I love you guys. This went longer than what I expected. Once again, if you guys need to reach out to me, you can. Reach out through me through Facebook. You can PM me. On this website, there is a way to email me. You can definitely do that. Just in the subject heading, Crucify for Christ Ministries. If it goes into spam, then I'll be able to pick it out. If not, then I probably won't be able to pick it out. Some of you guys have my personal phone number, so you can text me. I try to reach out as much as I can. I work a 40-hour job, secular job, so I preach sometimes in church, in a physical church, right? Not just on this platform, and do Bible studies and like that. And God opens the door for a full-time ministry, I will step into it if it's His will. Right now, it's just His will. I can tell you, not boasting and bragging at my job, I do witness to people and reach people. So, you know, God can use us where we're at because that's where He needs us to be. There's souls all around us that needs the gospel preached into their life. And part of this series that kind of is also to give us insight in doing that. Don't be scared to witness and give your testimony. But make sure you give the credit to Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day, night, if you're listening to this, your weekend or your week. Love y'all. Bye.